Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. Don't be confused. This is still your home for almost everything Avalanche. I'm your co-host, James Tapeleg Grailian. In this episode, JVina and I talk about opening night for the Avalanche, the 5-0 road trip, and how tired we are of fighting for respect as hockey fans. Exciting? Yes, sir, you betcha. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche. Could be your source for almost everything.
It's not a source, it's a home.
It could be a source for some podcasts. I'm your host, JV. This is episode number 67 of the show, and I'm joined once again, as always, by James Tapeleg Grailian from the Rink Podcast. What's up, James?
How you doing?
I'm good.
Welcome to Tapeleg Studios.
This is cool.
Yeah.
I like it. You got all kinds of cool effects on here. We should do a podcast just with those and give people headache.
Yeah, just what everybody needs, us to be annoying with weird sound effects.
Bigger than the headache they usually get.
You're a headache.
You're a headache.
Episode 67, huh?
The Anders Lovedahl edition of the show. Anders Lovedahl.
I remember Anders Lovedahl.
No, you don't.
Nobody does.
Who was
Anders Lovedahl?
He played for the Avalanche.
He
never played any regular season games. Preseason game worn jersey, 1999 preseason.
You have?
Yeah. No patch on it. I just have a tough time, and anybody who knows jerseys like a lot likes their pro player jerseys. And when you see one and you have a chance at it, you just grab it because they use them for one season.
No patch on it, you say. What patch would?
NHL 2000 patch.
Oh,
they wore those jerseys for one single year. Mm-hmm. Chris Huffines jersey, Tony Amani, pro player, 2000 patch.
I had to sit next to that jersey. It was very difficult.
You did. You took a lot of pictures of it.
I did.
Chris is good people.
That doofus.
Yeah, and he left as a winner. Woohoo!
We'll get to that game in a bit.
Who doesn't when they play at Pepsi Center lately?
Anders Lovedahl.
Anders Lovedahl.
Should I say it? I want to see him on a line with Mitch Love.
Yeah, Mitch Love and a couple other people.
Yeah. I'm not going to say the other one.
We'll keep it clean, but hey, fill in the blanks for anybody out there would like to.
A player that plays for possibly the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Maybe. You'll have to break out your bleeper. Beep. Anyways, sixth round pick, 158th pick overall in the 1999 entry draft. Never came anywhere near the big club, but they did make a jersey for him to wear during the preseason.
This is the only guy that ever wore 67?
There's probably a couple other guys that wore during the preseason, but it's tough to find who wore what during the preseason unless they're still with the team.
Okay.
So I will post a picture of that jersey. It really does exist. And, from here on out until we get to 71, we'll just get creative and we'll dedicate the podcast to somebody special. Somebody who's really played well between, this show and the next show.
Cool.
There we go. We got to stretch it. So,
well, once we get up into the 80s, it's going to be pretty tough. And
it is, but we're creative like that. We're just so entertaining, So we got all kinds of stuff to throw at you, Avalanche fans. How many games in are we now?
Eight games into the
eight
season.
Eight games.
Avs are 6-2.
Tale of two
locations.
Yeah, basically. There's Pepsi Center and then other places, and I don't know who would have thought they were going to be 6-0 on the road.
Who'd have thought that they would be 6-0 on the road and then just fall apart completely at home? But of course, then again, we're only two home games.
Mm-hmm.
Two home games. That's it.
They've struggled at home. Well, they struggled all last half of last year. So it just seems like my dad swears every time we go to a game that it's been a whole year since I've seen him win a game, and I can't tell him. No, that's crazy for much longer before I have to go back and check. But it has been a while. But I don't know what the deal is. They've struggled. One goal in two games so far at home. Opening night. They haven't really obviously created much offense.
No.
But opening night, Peter Forsberg night. Did you have fun?
Peter Forsberg night. I had a good time.
It was cool. Speeches were nice.
Yeah.
It
wasn't super long either, which was nice.
No.
They could have dragged out. I think it's like Edmonton, where they do like 45 minutes, an hour of like ceremony for these guys, which, hey, if you're part of that cup run, they won so many cups, you deserve, you definitely deserve your moment. Since the 2005-2006 season, it's not like they've had a lot to cheer about in Edmonton. So, take your time, enjoy it. You're probably not going to enjoy the game, so you might as well enjoy the ceremony. But, and then we had kind of the similar experience there with the game itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't real entertaining.
Avs get shut out 3-0.
Mm-hmm. By a backup goaltender.
Yeah, and they, you know, but they'd played the previous night in Detroit, right?
I believe so. Yeah.
You know, there was a certain point in that game where they had a really good first period. I thought it was good hockey game in the first period. The second, you know, then there were some bad mistakes, and you start seeing those mistakes where, mm-hmm. you know, you, like for me, I'm watching, I was sitting at the end. I saw, where I believe it was Hayduke when he reached in reached in trying to lunge for a puck. I'm just thinking, why are you doing this? This is bad. And boom, leads to a goal.
Yeah.
Eric Johnson, big gaff, leads to a goal. And I'm just thinking, man, this is not a good way to start.
Yeah, I guess, you know, the Avalanche have, you know, they beat Boston in Boston. That's something to talk about. But, you know, the rest of the wins, you can kind of go back and forth whether these are actually quality teams. But they beat, you know, the Blackhawks are a quality team. They beat mm-hmm. them last night as we record this. But, you know, the one good thing is the Avalanche are beating the teams that they should beat. I guess that they're better than, can I say that? But, you know, that's always good. It's going to take you good places. But, you know, playing consistently and getting some scoring chances against the better defensive teams, we haven't seen a whole lot of that. And,
right.
You know, then you get scolded by Dater.
And well,
that's very sad when we don't, when we as the fans don't create enough energy in the building.
That's a game to come. We'll talk about that in a minute.
I'll bring my pom-poms, I guess. But, you know, it's been a good start to the year overall. 6 straight wins on the road. But they have their lapses where they go a period, 2 periods without an odd man rush, spend a lot of time in their own zone. But that's where a good goaltender gives you a chance to win.
Yeah, and, no, absolutely. And Varlamov has been exceptional so far.
He's been very solid. And that's something new. It's been a long time since us Avs fans can say we've got a legitimate starter in net that will give you a chance to win every night. So hopefully he stays healthy and hopefully everybody else stays healthy besides Peter Mueller. I'm starting to worry about him. They've said he has a head injury. He will be out indefinitely, I guess, again or something. For a while, they said he was going to be a healthy scratch, but I'm starting to think he might be just about done. I don't know. I hate to be pessimistic, and you never want to guess, but when it keeps going back to the same issue and he's not getting hit, it just seems to be like, you know, once he picks up his heart rate and everything, things start to fall apart, and that's not good. But they seem to be doing okay without him for now.
There's been so many concussion stories recently about, you know, from all over the league. It's going to be a scary issue.
It's a quality of life issue.
It is.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
But there's only so much you can control with all mm-hmm. that, of course. You know, there's the, and you look at, like, was it Savard?
Mm-hmm.
And he's pretty much, I mean, his career is probably over. There's the continuous Sidney Crosby watch. And it's been, you know, as sick as I am of hearing about Sidney Crosby and that the whole league is wrapped around Sidney Crosby. And I, you know, I know a lot of people don't feel the same way, but that's okay. Cause, you know, but it's the Western Conference here that we pay attention to, and we don't have those gigantic stars. Everybody's so,
you know,
we're going to build the league around. Mm-hmm. I'm, you know, his loss is huge. No matter what, for the league, and they've built the league around him. So,
kind of their fault, yes.
Yeah, you know, it is. You know, but I don't know. There's it's with Mueller. It's hard to tell. Obviously, Adrian Dater. He's talked about how these guys aren't even allowed to talk to the media at all if they're injured. It's just stay away,
right?
And that just makes it harder for us as fans to know what's going on, to speculate. And we don't even know. He might not even know.
No.
I'm sure that he's concerned about his health and his well-being.
Yeah, I don't see why not. And it's kind of sad. You know, the team seems to be doing okay without him, but who knows how long that'll last. Hopefully it lasts for a while. You got a couple guys that weren't available last year that are available this year. So I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But it's getting towards the point where you can't really depend on him being in the lineup anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We thought this year was going to be we as the fans thought it was going to be a fresh new start, and he was going to be ready to go. And
that's how it sounded.
Wasn't quite ready to go.
No.
So I don't know. One of those things. sorry. Meetup. Highlight of the game. Besides the Peter Forsberg thing.
Yeah.
We just want to thank everybody for coming over and saying hi to us. And I didn't realize how many people were there until we started writing some of the people down. But that was a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun. I had a great time.
Go down the list real quick.
Go for it.
Let's see. Wizzo and Bones. Coming from Anaheim, I believe. This is from Southern California. But be on the lookout for a collaboration podcast with those guys. Really, really nice to meet them from the Ducks Apps podcast.
Yep.
Nice to meet Wizzo, especially. I've been in touch with him a little bit. His wife was in town as well. They had a great time, I know. J. Scott Moore from Real Denver Sports Blog. Jibble Scribbits, always nice to see you. And Jibble, thank you for the plugs on the MMHH boards whenever you get the chance. So we appreciate those. Sean Payton from the Anyone But Detroit blog. Jory from Avalanche Prospects blog. Loves getting her ribs crushed by James. Katie Martinez, Hockey Without Oxygen blog on the... What network is it?
Why are you asking me that?
I can't even say the word.
Aries?
Aries,
I think it is.
We'll have to ask her. Yeah, it sounds simpler than it looks. But Chris Huffine, Aaron Holcomb, Kevin Rebow, Tommy Romolo, my buddy Terry Sanford, Dario Ronzone, Emily Robson, Mary Lloyd, who stopped by for a second. She thought I didn't see her, but I saw her. Scott Thurston, Scott Pantall, Jessica Asfan off of Twitter. Did I forget anybody? I forgot a couple of people.
Probably.
Yeah. If I forgot you, it wasn't anything on purpose.
Christina 10_37. You know, these aren't.
Yeah. But just, you know, everybody saw that we were going to meet up and we had a lot of people there. And it was just fun to catch up with everybody. And thank you for your time. That was fun.
Yo, Daniel Winnick is on Twitter. He didn't stop by. I don't know why.
No, I mean, some of you guys are so selfish.
Matthew Shane.
Yeah.
Didn't stop by.
You invite him for stuff. And
totally.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh, I can't make it. I'm busy.
I don't know where my
blade. Be in the locker room. Whatever.
Excuses. They're always fun.
So the Red Wing, the game.
Yes.
The game itself.
Yes.
I mean, I firmly blame Peter Forsberg for the loss to the Red Wings. As he said in his speech, you know, we always loved beating the Red Wings.
That's jinx.
Oh, massive. Boy, there's no motivation for the guys to come back and play their hearts out. And,
yeah.
If they, you know.
A lot of Red Wings fans there, a lot of Blackhawks fans.
A ton of Red Wings fans. In fact, and I went with several Avalanche fans and a couple of Red Wings fans. And, you know, props to the Red Wings fans that did, you know, stand up and clap for Peter Forsberg and the like. Yeah. You know, they were pretty quiet at first, and then throughout the game they started to get a little more rambunctious as the Red Wings started to kind of take control of the game.
Yeah. I saw a tweet or two like, those Red Wing fans better not boo Peter Forsberg, and there was none of that.
No.
It's all about respect. Yeah.
Yeah. And who was on? I think it was like Zetterberg was on the bench.
It was Peter Forsberg walked by and hugged like one of the trainers. I didn't see any of the.
I believe there was a player there.
Did you?
Yeah.
I mean, it was different in the fact that they flipped everything around. Usually the teams, well, in the past, the teams warm up. Then they sit on the bench, and then they watch the ceremony, and then they skate a little bit more, and then they start the game. They flip-flopped all that, so the Red Wings players actually could prepare like it was a game instead of having to sit down and hang out during the ceremony. So I know that kind of switched things around, too. I didn't notice the player on there, but, yeah, if it was Zetterberg, I know he hugged somebody like in a warm-up suit. So that was really cool. Peter Forsberg did like a little victory lap and came down through the crowd, and it was a really cool moment. Who's next? Adam Foote?
Bro, oh yeah.
When is that going to happen? My guess is if they're done at the end of the year, you know, it'll mark 1 year since his last game. So they might do it then. If they're going to make the playoffs, I don't think they'll do it then. And then they'll do it opening night next year. But that's next. And then hey Duke. And then it's going to be a while.
It's going to be a long while
after that. Maybe Anders Lovdahl, 67.
Number 67.
Yes, that'd be outstanding. That'd be really great. Let's see. Let's talk about pickups a little bit. Shane O'Brien's been one of my favorites, and I don't know about you other Avalanche fans out there, but he does not put up with any shenanigans near Varley or Jiggy, because the Avs, never mind. You don't want me to wear out getting Jiggy with it yet?
No.
Okay, so I won't say that. But yeah, I like it. I like the edge around the net. You want to hack on people, that's fine, but you're going to pay for it. And the Avalanche haven't had that for a long time, and I think some other guys are following. You know, Jan Hayda gets in people's face a little bit. So it's been kind of refreshing to watch that. So
one of my favorite pickups. The toughness of the team is, you know, last year was always questioned. It was that fast, speedy defense that sometimes got caught and wasn't big enough. And size was always one of those big complaints. Now they've gone the exact opposite direction, which is great.
Yeah.
I can't. I don't have any complaints about it whatsoever. Everybody was saying how slow the new look defense was going to be and how slow they're.
Yeah, I haven't
how
noticed.
How fast do they have to be when they're actually back a bit?
Solid positionally too.
Was watching the Maple Leafs the other day, not the Avs, the Avs Leafs game, but just a separate Maple Leafs game, and John Michael Lyles pinching down low, gets caught back, winds up back checking on a two on one against. Same exact thing that we've seen all the time. What do we have now? Well, we're rarely getting caught. And and last night there was a moment with, I think it was last night, it may have been the previous game, where Hajduk back-checked and basically saved a goal.
Yep.
And that's rarer these last several games than before. I didn't necessarily like losing Lyles. I didn't mind losing Lyles as much as losing Shattenkirk, who I thought had a lot more potential at some point. But this new look defense, it's hard to complain so far.
They've been solid. Most of them have been solid. You know, Eric Johnson's pass last night.
There's been Eric Johnson has had. He was talking last night between periods about how he wanted to contribute offensively. And right now, I don't know how much he needs to contribute offensively.
Yeah.
And he's not really contributing offensively at all. So
except on the power play. I really like him on the point on the power play. The Avalanche haven't had that for a while unless they put, you know, Peter Mueller when he first showed up was really good back there. Usually it's a forward. You know, now it's Lindstrom on the point during the power play, which is, you know, it's fine. Their power play's actually played pretty well lately, but I think Johnson's due for some points on the power play eventually, some more than what he's had already, but he has had his gaffes, and I think those will work themselves out. I like him too. I mean, I like the edge the backside brings. They're solid positionally, not a whole lot of odd man breaks. Mm-hmm. They're punishing people physically. They had a ton of hits last night. I think they out hit the Hawks by like 15 hits or something like that. It's been nice to see. It's something new, something different. And that's what us fans and the team have needed, and you can see the difference. Jan Hayda as well, primary assist on the game-tying goal in Columbus. Gabriel Landeskog's first NHL goal right off his butt or whatever it hit. And, you know, that's got to be exciting for him as well. And it's been a decent start. And we're not used to – well, actually, they played pretty well last year until the wheels fell off. So we won't get too excited, but it was a lot of fun, you know, so far.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we like it. So let's see what else. We have a nice little list made up for everybody. Kyle Quincy, speaking of guys on the back end, he has his issues defensively, but this team is better, period, with him in the lineup, you know, and it's I didn't realize how much he was missed until he came back this year, and he's been much better too. So, I mean, anybody else that's really sticking out for you? We can talk about the front end as well, but the new defense seems to be working out fairly well so far.
Well, with Quincy, I mean, it was for me, I thought he was kind of tough. I liked his edge when he first got in, when he first joined the Avs. Part of that, of course, was much like Hayda now. He was pretty much not picked up by the Red Wings and wanted to kind of prove himself, which, hey, that's never a bad thing. But look at the defense at the time and who was he paired up with. I don't even remember who he was being paired up with.
No, I don't either.
And there were so many odd pairings.
Yeah.
The start of last year, you know, when we were looking at Hannon and Shattenkirk.
Gone. Yeah, everybody's gone.
Lyles and
did you see Scott Hannon score the other night? I thought of you.
No.
He scored.
He did?
Yeah. He didn't hit the Geico sign.
That's amazing.
It went in the net. The net moved.
That it actually went at the net on its own. It's amazing.
In as a bonus.
I'd totally forgotten that he'd actually gotten picked up. I thought he was still out there in free agent.
It was late. It was very late. Yeah.
Was it ever?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was pretty close to training camp.
It's one of your favorite players. I mean, there's plenty of jerseys on Migre, some game worns.
Yeah, there's a reason there's plenty.
TJ Hensick, Wojtek Volski. I mean, those are the guys you're really looking for. So I'll send you some links.
Why do you have to do this?
Because you like jerseys and good deals.
You know what I don't like?
Me.
You.
All right.
No, but who was Quincy even paired with last year?
It was they were moving around so much because everybody was hurt.
Everybody was getting hurt.
Hunwick.
People were getting traded. You have it.
Why not?
There you have it.
Yeah.
And where's Hunwick? You know, he's
scratchy.
Yeah. He's basically doing the same thing Coachy was doing last year, and there's a reason for it.
Joe Scratcho.
Everybody.
Greg Haraguchi, right on, man. I love that term, Joe Scratcho. Speaking of, I never even realized until I met the until I read the article this morning. Matt Duchene plays in the fourth line last night for most of the game. Didn't even notice that, but
yeah,
I don't know. You know, it's one of those Sacco things where, you know, could you do that to a Hajduk? And you couldn't do that to a Hajduk, even if Hajduk's not quite on top of his game. But I don't know. I go back and forth on that. Yeah. You got a top two liner who, well, you never know how that's going to affect the player.
Duchene is really frustrating me right now. Landeskog is kind of filling that role and those expectations that Duchene was supposed to.
True.
Right now, Landeskog is scoring. He's hitting. He's playing as a teammate.
He's playing on a heck of a line.
Well, he's playing on a heck of a line. And O'Reilly, I've never really seen what everybody else seemed to see in O'Reilly for a long time. What's the point?
I get it now. Yeah.
Now that he's got somebody to play with and he's got somebody like Landeskog to play with, he's turning it on.
I think it's amazing. And he's getting older and better.
He works his tail off.
Yeah.
But he has somebody to play with that actually is, you know, they're just clicking. There's a chemistry there. And Duchene right now is starting to revert back to what he did in his first year when he was kind of playing on his own, when he was acting like a junior player, trying to split the defense every time. He's still making passes. He's still playing as a teammate, but at the same time, he's not
a factor.
He's not being a factor at all.
Yeah.
But he seems like he's playing like a junior player again. Yeah. And I'm sure that it's frustrating for him. He's gripping his stick too tight. Mm-hmm. Paul Stastny's kind of in the same realm where it's like, you know, you could be doing a little more, but it really seems like Duchene is kind of not falling apart, but not performing up to expectations at all.
Yeah, I think the difference between, say, a Matt Duchene is he's playing against top two defensive pairings every single night if he's going to skate on the first two lines.
Right.
Winnick, O'Reilly, Landeskog playing against at least the second, if not the third pairing, because they are the third line. So they're taking advantage of that, while Duchene, you start to wonder. And that's kind of the thing. Right now they seem to be doing okay, but once this third line doesn't click as well as they are, which is bound to happen, you know, you want them to keep up this pace, but it's a heck of a pace. Right. You need the consistency of the first two lines scoring and at least getting chances. I mean, Matt Duchene hasn't had that many chances really at all. He has not been, like I said, a factor.
But he hasn't been creating chances. And
is that the lines? Is that him, you know, not being collectively as good as the defensive pairings they're playing against? I worry about this team up front just a little bit because they don't have that big guy that you can just park right in front of the net and, you know, say like Chris Stewart or, you know, Bobby Holik or
Daniel Winnick.
Winnick, that's not really his game, like right down in the middle of it, but he could. That's something he could do. You can't put Duchene in front of the net. He'll get killed.
Yeah.
You know, by pretty much every defenseman, especially top four defensemen on any other team.
I think it was Justin Bourne of the Scores Backhand Shelf blog. He took that over this year.
Yes.
He was talking about Matt Duchene and saying how of all the players in the NHL, he has the most explosive speed from slow to fast.
Buchegrass was saying that as well.
I think they both, but
Buchegrass for sure. He was a tour de force of whatever hockey skills or.
Yeah. It's just how fast he can, he can just, you know, boom, he's gone. Mm-hmm. And that's great, but yeah, you're right. It doesn't really help you much in front of the net.
No. And that's what I worry about. They need a power forward. Every team does. Skills are good. Size and strength is another. It all depends on how the chemistry is. And
look at Columbus though. Right now, Columbus has Rick Nash. Now there's a power forward. they need about 10 more.
Yeah, they do. At least. Yeah. So I don't know. It's just one thing I worry about, and it's just one thing that I've kind of thought about. Hopefully, it won't come true. But I'm a little worried about the size and I don't know, ability to be able to fight through people in the top two lines, but. Heck, we'll worry about that a little bit later.
Yeah, you can fight through them, or you know,
true,
you can go true. Around them. But the thing with him, with Duchene, of course, is he'll see that gap between two defensemen and go, "That's mine." And defensemen are
no, it used quick to be, to it used to be yours. Right, yeah, it used to be yours.
Oh yeah,
no, it's not.
Yeah, when you're playing against the St. John Ice Dogs, or you know the Saskatoon
Blades.
Is
that what it is?
I think it is.
Yeah.
The Kitchener Rangers, who whoever you're playing against. When you're playing for the Brampton Battalion.
We go back and forth.
You see
and
my see, eyes just going,
then see how many maybe, junior teams yeah. we can name here.
Oh, geez. There's 60.
Not enough.
I've got them all listed if you want to go through them.
Let's go down the list real quick.
Let's not.
Landeskog, he can freaking score. He's got hands. He's got.
He can hit. Big,
he's got guts.
Yeah.
I mean, I was keeping it clean. I was going to say something else.
He's, you know, with him show. Last night that that goal they scored right in the paint. All he did was get around a defenseman and get his stick on the ice. And O'Reilly passed.
Was that O'Reilly? Yeah. So O'Reilly had the primary assist on both. Oh boy!
And basically, right off of his stick and in. I mean, it was.
Oh yeah.
It kind of reminded me of Mueller and Lyles last season.
Dan Hynot used to do a bunch of that
season
too.
Before.
Yeah. Dan Hynot used to do a bunch of that too. Mm. Just put your stick down and good things happen.
Yeah.
Mike Ricci.
Ooh.
We're just full of hockey knowledge and names right now.
Mike Ricci, pretty guy.
Ricci. Only a hockey player, hockey fan could really love that face. But yeah, he's got, I was thinking about this last night. What did Dan Winnick think when Joe Sacco said, hey, you're going to play with the 18-year-old and the 20-year-old. Have some fun. And you know, I'm sure he looked at Sacco kind of like you just looked at me. And it was like, oh, but... Great moment last night. I don't know if you caught it, but they right after Landeskog's goal, they all go back to the bench and they kind of sit down and they're trying to play it cool and they're really excited. When it gives, I think Landeskog a quick fist pound and then they just kind of go, yeah, that was awesome. That was awesome. You never see hockey players do that very often, but all three of them sitting next to each other. I think Winnick started it, but really cool to see the chemistry between that line and hopefully they, you know, obviously they keep it up. Landeskog's looking great.
Yeah.
I think consistency wise, that's the best line the Avalanche have had so far this season. And when that's your third line, that's always a good thing.
Absolutely.
But it won't always be that way. I think we've only got one more thing. We have a couple more things to talk about. But as far as so far, 5-for-5 on the road on their first road trip. I mean, 10 points out of 10 points. What was it? Two shootouts?
Two shootouts, one overtime winner.
Yeah. And, I mean, who would have thought that was going to happen?
No, so absolutely.
First time in franchise history they've done that. They've gone 4-0-1 twice in the past.
Well, and it's still early in the season, you know, but look at where those teams that they played are.
Sure.
Toronto is the only team that's actually doing really well right now, which is stunning.
Even
they're 5-1-1 right now. They're atop their division.
Even the Bruins are struggling.
The Bruins, and we can talk a little bit about that, the Bruins and Vancouver, of course, both struggling in the big Stanley Cup hangover. It is really taking charge of them.
Yeah.
They changed half the team after they won it, but Chicago didn't even seem to have this much of a cup hangover.
True.
Flyers didn't seem to have this big of a cup hangover, and they have goalie issues as long as the day. It was just awful. But Montreal, last place right now, and Ottawa. Ottawa has more points.
They're 3-3 or something right now.
They are 3-5-0.
Yeah,
and Boston's 3-5-0.
Huh.
And it's not pretty for those teams. So the Avs, they got 5 out of 5, but they only played one actual
hockey team.
It seems that way, and oddly enough, that hockey team was the Toronto Maple Leafs.
That's right.
Yeah.
I haven't had a chance to say that the last few years.
Which makes me think.
And
that
by
I need
a few,
to,
I mean what? 15, 20?
God, they haven't made
Sorry, Leafs fans.
Well, they haven't made the playoffs since the lockout.
Yeah.
And I need it. It tells me I need to talk to Jay Kumar on the Ring podcast about get him on.
Get
my resident Leafs expert.
There you go.
And then again, winning in the shootout against Chicago on the road.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Even after the game, you know, everybody's favorite Julie Brownman was asking what's the deal with the road, and I can't remember who she was talking to. It's just like I don't know. It might have been EJ.
Talked to Stastny.
Was it Stastny
at some point? Yeah. Was it after the game?
Yeah, it was after the game.
Don't remember then. Yeah. It was Stastny between like the second and third or something.
I think it was after the game. It might have been Winnick actually.
Sure.
And it's like I don't know. And nobody knows. I mean, nobody knows why you would.
There's something, you know, there's all kinds of theories out there. You get away from your family. You know, sometimes it's good. Sometimes that is, you know, it is what it is. I can't go a podcast without saying that. But, you know, the guys get together, go out to eat, you know, not as much to worry about. You get your naps in, whatever it is. And
sometimes you just have a good game. Sometimes that's it.
And sometimes you have a bunch of good games in a row. Well, decent games.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about it earlier before we started recording. I mean, you'd rather see your favorite NHL team hold a 2-goal lead that they had late in the second period. But. Yeah. wins are wins. You never have to apologize for those. And
wins are wins until you start really handing out the extra point. When they were having, when they were playing in the East, you know, in the Eastern Conference, you can give away as many points as you want as long as you get some. Who cares? You know, but when it comes to, when it comes to teams like Chicago, I mean, Carolina, or sorry, Columbus, they have 1 point. That's it. And that's the point that they earned.
That's right. And that was the Avalanche score. And they tend to make a habit of that, which is fun, not necessary all the time. But one thing I mentioned it on Twitter whenever I get the chance is that they don't give up. And I'm not quite sure where that attitude comes from, whether it's the team leadership that's been there for a while. But for the most part, you don't see them pack it in and just be like, oh, let's
move
on.
We saw it a lot at the end of last season, or at least in that massive losing streak. Yeah. And at a certain point, of course, it was pretty futile. So who gave
And you have enough guys out where it's just like you're just not quite good enough to hang. But when they are healthy, it's worth watching. And
it's demoralizing. They make it when you're,
that's true.
Last season was so demoralizing for the fans and for them. And it was awful. I can't imagine how it was to have to go out after so many losses and just try and eke one out, and then you get behind. Do you really feel like it's ever going to happen again? I don't know if I would. I feel as long as the season is, and as much as you have to step it up even more at those points, I don't know how I'd feel about it. That'd be awful.
Be kind of torturous, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just going through the motions, just trying to get it over with.
Ugly.
I've been there as a player. It's not fun. So yeah, that's our thoughts on the Avalanche so far. As far as you know, how their season's gone. An interesting article. When was the article or blog post?
Oh,
this was NBC Sports, right?
Yeah, this was like 3-4 days ago.
When was this? Was this after? I can't remember. It was after one of the wins on the road. Maybe it was after their 5-game road trip that they swept or whatever it was.
But. Well, NBC's hockey blog, Pro Hockey Talk, they just went out through a kind of a change in management, you could say, new editorial staff. And while I could discount these guys because of it, they are from Vancouver. They are Canucks fans. Hey, I'm an Avalanche fan. You're an Avalanche fan. It does color how we see things. That's just the way it is. Everybody is biased, but then there after that is fairness, whether or not you're fair or not. And, kind of that same article that we've seen over and over and over. Pro Hockey Talk, they wrote basically the headline was, "Will Denver ever love the Avs again?" And it's the classic, fans aren't showing up to the rink, blah, blah, blah. The basis basically being that they went to the Denver Post page, our one and only newspaper in town, and saw that the coverage was all about Tim Tebow, which... Well, yeah,
has always been that way.
And then questioned whether or not, you know, of course, you know, are they good? Are the fans any good? Are the, you know, will the fans ever love the team again? Well, we do love the team. And this is the same article that we've seen over and over for the last several years. And it just seems like this outside perspective of this is a bad hockey town now after the fans were spoiled for so long. I don't agree at all. I'm tired of defending.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That doesn't, you know, we have really high price tickets. The Avs are not into advertising or marketing themselves and they haven't been for years. I've seen a few more banners around, a few more places where you see the, Worn with Pride.
Worn with Pride.
But it's the same. It's the exact same stuff over and over and over. Blame the fans. Blame the we're not good enough. And on the same day, like what, an hour or less before the article was, half an hour before the other new editor from Vancouver, are the Colorado Avalanche for real? No, probably not. That's the headline. In other words, will they be able to keep up a 5-1 pace and win every game on the road?
And then lose every game at home?
Yeah. No, probably they won't, but.
Well, and then you got the other way. I saw a couple other articles, and I don't really need to mention exactly where they are. It's not really the point. But one was, is Varley the guy that will lead this team back to a championship? Wow. Can we slow down just a little bit?
Yeah, we're 8 games in.
Yeah, can we get maybe halfway, 3/4 of the way through the season before we start trying to.
How about making the playoffs? That'd be nice.
Small steps would be great. Yeah. How about, you know, not second to last in the league? I mean, let's really look realistically at this. But realism doesn't get hits to your site. Sometimes I really do wonder if this is what some of the media members would really believe, or whether they're just saying it because they know it'll get people fired up.
I had a good talk with Jason Cohen, who's on Twitter as Zamboni Rodeo, because he wrote a great book called Zamboni Rodeo, where he followed the Austin Ice Bats through an entire season.
Cool.
Of their I think they were still at the Central Hockey League, mm-hmm. at the time. And we were talking about columnists, and he said, you know, it's hard sometimes as a columnist to come up with something every day when it's a long season. Sometimes there just isn't anything new. But this isn't anything new. Mm-mm. This is the same kind of thing that we've seen over and over. Why are we reading this? Why is this a story? It's not. And the Avs had only played one home game.
Yeah.
So that was against Detroit. Why are we bearing the brunt?
It's something to talk about. Yeah. I mean, mainstream media here in Denver, it's ridiculous. They announced that Tim Tebow is going to be the starter, and for 2 full weeks during the bye week, all you hear about is Tim Tebow. But yeah. Then when you listen to the radio and hear him start to talk hockey, you wish they wouldn't talk hockey anymore, because nobody has any idea what they're talking about. I'm not saying I could do a better job, but I'm saying there's really nobody qualified besides maybe Sandy Clough to talk about exactly what's going on with the Avalanche. And sometimes he has a show after the Avalanche shows, and sometimes he doesn't.
Well, also take a look at how the media and the Avalanche have gotten along. It's not like the people who wrote about the Nuggets or when football season, the Broncos beat writers are going to go, hey, let's go call the Avalanche and we'll go talk to them and we'll start covering some of that, since that's the only sport in town right now. Well, that's not going to be the case, because the Avalanche are famously tight-lipped with the media. They don't get along real well with the media. Yeah. They never have. Pierre Lacroix, for as much as people love him for the wins, he is not. He doesn't let the media in.
Nope.
Whether that's been earned or not by some of the mainstream media in the past, in the present, whatever, it's not like it's easy in this town to write about the Avalanche and have the Avalanche be on your side.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that we have a lack of caring or a lack of desire even for people to cover. It's just, what is the point if they're not going to be media friendly either?
That's true. I think there's fault on both sides. I think some of their article definitely does have some, you know, interesting points. I guess I wouldn't call them necessarily accurate or correct, but once I've accepted, because the Broncos have been here for so long and because so many people root for that team, no matter how bad they get, it's an interesting reality around here. I get sick of hearing about the Broncos. Everything sports talk has to do with the Broncos and Tebow. Mm-hmm. Everything, whether they're playing or not, that's all everybody talks about. And after today's game, there's going to be all kinds of and that's all they'll talk about. So I don't know whether to accept it or just kind of move on, or just try to do my part as far as a hockey fan, like doing shows like this to really get the team out there. And I don't know whether
games when we can.
Yeah, I don't think we make that big of a difference, but at least there's something for somebody to listen to, because otherwise there's not a whole lot.
No, there's not. I've actually thought about compiling kind of a list of if you can't afford XM radio, mm-hmm. which is where the only place that really has hockey talk as often as
people would
really want it, a list of all the podcasts and things so you can get that hockey talk. Around here, yeah, I don't even listen to Denver sports radio because there's no reason. Yeah. I am a one sport fan. I like hockey. I don't care about football. I don't really care about baseball. But there's nothing there for me. And there's nothing there for a lot of hockey fans.
It's one of the reasons why we do this, mm-hmm. you know, and we're there for the hardcore or basic fans, whatever it is. But
and it would be nice to see them talk more, get more stuff on. Even if it was like a 15-minute spot, or, you know, let's talk to a player and like a 5-minute piece in sure. sports radio or something. Right now it is all about the Broncos.
And it always will be. And that's the problem. And the Broncos usually open up a couple weeks before the Avalanche do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, everybody's in full gear as far as how the Broncos are doing. And then, you know, the Nuggets, when they're playing, they start about the same time the Avalanche do. And then it's not a mess, but you have to kind of pick and choose where you want to put your attention.
Oh, it's very cluttered. It's a very, Denver is a oversaturated sports town.
Yeah.
We have so many sports teams. We have two lacrosse teams. We have an indoor and an outdoor.
Who doesn't need that?
Who has that?
So not few. Many places. That's true.
Oh, man.
That's
even true. I think it's the MML is like six teams, eight teams.
Something like
we that. We have one of them, and we pretty much sell the most tickets for outdoor lacrosse of that entire league. We're saturated.
Yeah.
We're oversaturated. And yet all that sports radio wants to talk about is
Broncos.
And we have one paper. Yeah,
Broncos. Yeah. Front page tomorrow. Broncos will be front page. Oh, no matter how well the Avalanche do, you know, unless they win another Stanley Cup. That's the other thing too. I mean, it's tough to deal with the reality of what things used to be and what they are now. Because, you know, in that article they named the seven or eight guys that used to be here that are all going to be in the Hall of Fame, and it's easy to point to that, but you know, you leave your hockey fans out of it. You know, there's Avalanche fans, there's hockey fans, and I think those of you out there that follow any sport, you know whether the person's a fan of the sport or they're a fan of their team only. And there's really no gray area. So
I think that's one of the things that's lost on a lot of Canadian mainstream media. Well, Canadian media, whether it's independent bloggers, whatever, is the local sports fan.
Yeah.
The fan that likes the local guys, and that's it. They don't, you know, whatever the sport is, they're going to cheer for whoever's local.
Right.
In Canada, unless you're in Toronto, maybe you have two big teams, and that's your hockey team and maybe a CFL team, Canadian Football
that's
League.
It.
That's it. And
or
those,
the Blue Jays.
And even those fans, they're so transitional in the for CFL. I see so many fans that go elsewhere that, you know, if you're in Vancouver, you have just as much of a chance of seeing a Saskatchewan Rough Riders fan as a BC Lions fan. And part of that is because the BC Lions are pretty bad, but
yeah,
but still that's just the way it is for sports fandom in Canada. Here, very different.
Yeah. And I don't think I'll ever get used to it. You know, I can only handle so much sports talk. I mean, I want to be informed, but I can only listen to so much before it's just overkill.
I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast last year, but I tuned in a little bit for a little bit of sports talk because Mosier was going to be on.
Mm-hmm.
Might have been in the off season.
Yeah, he does every once in a while. Yeah.
And they were in a commercial break. I tune in. Then it sounded like they were coming back, but then they did kind of another commercial thing and then another and then came back. But I couldn't tell at first if it was actually a commercial or if it was content.
Oh, no, the new thing they do and you know, Mike and Mike in the Morning on ESPN does this too. They have the guys do the commercials kind of live.
Okay.
And they talk about the product and they take a minute and there's some background music and everything. And it's kind of fooling everybody into thinking it's not really commercial, but it is commercial, but it's not really commercial because, you know, and the commercials kill me. I mean, so we got a lot of issues there.
Irv and Joe, remember their commercials?
Yeah, those are
they still around?
Outstanding. Yeah, they're on another thing.
They've been around so many different places.
Hacienda, Colorado, my favorite enchiladas. No. Great.
I had to do
that's why I'm going there.
I used to have to do a remote broadcast with them in Blackhawk once a week. I'd go up to Blackhawk and I'd be behind the console. That was like 15 years ago or something, but that was
good times.
Oh,
it was,
you know what? It's sports talk radio, and it's that they have to sell. Obviously, they have commercial interests that they have to deal with. We don't, but that's the nice part.
When
we haven't even brought up the fact that we had Chipotle before.
We didn't. There's people that are so disappointed. But if you saw my post on Twitter or Facebook,
nobody cares.
Sure, they do.
They don't care.
Feed your face with Chipotle. They're our non-official. What did you call them? The our official not sponsor.
Our official
non
sponsor. Yeah, something like that.
That's who they are. Yeah, I don't know. I won't ever get used to it. I can stomach it sometimes, and other times I can't.
It is tough. It's aggravating. But it is the way. That's the thing. They know what side their bread is buttered on, and that is the side of the Broncos. And you can't. My thing is that if you look purely at the numbers don't lie. How many people are going to Broncos games? How many people are going to Avalanche games? What are they going to talk about? Whose faces are they going to feed? They're going to feed the people who are 60,000, 70,000 strong versus those that are 12 or 13.
Well, and you have that buildup every week or two, and you only get to build that up eight times a year. And that's, you know, the tickets are way more affordable because there's only eight games and they can only charge so much.
Right.
That's why, you know, it's, you know, my dad always says that he's been here his whole life too. You know, it's the best deal in Denver as far as sports goes, mm-hmm. because there's only 8 games and you might get a playoff game or two. But other than that, that's it. You got all that build up and you don't have to talk about motivation because everybody's so excited by the time Sunday or Monday rolls around.
Yeah.
It's just our reality as Avalanche fans. We're the few, the proud, the hockey fans.
Well, and you know what? It's not just us. I mean, well, it wasn't just us, but
right.
there are a couple other podcasts now out there. And it was the guys from the Avs Guild have their podcast. They just hit episode eight,
just went out. Two guys, one puck.
Yep.
Great segue, by the way. And you know, that's why I hired you.
You don't have to pull the curtain.
That's why
you don't have to pull the curtain every time.
No, it's great. Two guys, one puck. Absolutely. Yep. Ryan, Jonathan, Kevin, Justin Goldman is on there every once in a while. That's his name, right?
Yeah.
Goldman. Yeah. So you can catch them at theavalancheguild.com. Just search for the podcast within the
site. Yeah, I think they have it in the sidebar there.
Adrian Dater from the Denver Post has a podcast as well. I thought he was going to stick to Avalanche stuff, but he's just you have your theory on that. I like your theory. I think it's true as well.
Adrian Dater is more rounded.
Yeah,
he is. He's becoming more of a general NHL guy. He has been for the last couple of years, and he's been starting to write for Sports Illustrated Online, I believe. And he says it right in the beginning, you know, and whoever will hire me. And that's great.
At least you're honest.
Well, where are the guys from the Rocky Mountain News right now? They probably wish that they had taken that tack too. Yeah. And that's not saying that anything bad about the Denver Post. But it's just the reality of how even just the economy is.
It's
a gig-based economy right now. And hey, if you can go get another gig at the, you know, go get it.
Well, I know that's in the bottom of his blog posts as well now. Mm-hmm. You know, catch Adrian Dater's blogs, something, and podcasts here. And, you know, I like the you know, that's good for everybody. Once, you know, he makes podcasts. Ooh, let me look for other podcasts. Oh, the Avs Hockey Podcast. You're home for almost everything Avalanche. Almost everything. That's got to be good. I mean, come on. But, yeah, he's making himself more rounded, more marketable. He's talked to Jibble Scribbits, Avalanche blogger. Mm-hmm. He's talked to a few different Columbus writers. And he's also talked to Ken Hitchcock so far. So he's got some access, which we don't.
That's okay.
No. Hey, I would do the same thing, you know? So you never know what'll happen with that. But Dater has his own podcast. Just check out his blog for that. Mm-hmm. And also, like we mentioned before, the Ducks Avs podcast. They talk about, obviously, both teams. Bones and Wizzle will take you through a lot of the action. They're very entertaining and
they kind of slowed down a little bit at the end of last year, but I think they're going to pick it back up. We have a little pressure that we've tried to put on
them. They're good guys. And like I said, look out for a collaboration show that we'll do when they're back in town, and we'll have some fun with them. So go check out other podcasts and go check out some other things and be well informed so people won't talk. So when people do talk stuff about fans, they know they're not talking about you. Isn't that what it's all about?
I think so.
Would you like to, I think we're good. Would you like to tell everybody, all the nice people out there, where they can find us? And we can talk about a new Twitter account that we created. That's, we're so awesome. Only, you know, one Twitter account wasn't near enough.
But. I mentioned at the end of last, well, didn't really mention it. I made a joke about it at the end of the last podcast. And then we made it happen. That we needed a fake Avs Hockey Podcast Twitter account just to satisfy all the things. Like, how many times can we say winning in one? How many times over and over do you think you fit that in?
I don't know, a lot, but I mean, you can talk about 20. You can talk about Tyler Arneson. You can, you know, how much you know, mileage can we get out of Tyler Arneson tweets? And there's a lot. There's a whole bunch. So follow us at fake AHP tweets. It was a joke, but heck, if you're, you know, damn it, if you're going to do a parody, you know, Twitter account, do it yourself. Do so it's yourself. Done right. So we have some fun with that. So if you're not following that yet, go ahead and follow it, and I think James will cover all the rest of the places you can find us on the internets.
And take the deep breath. You can always find the Avs Hockey Podcast at avshockeypodcast.com. You can leave comments. We're going to put some links up, including links to the two Pro Hockey Talk posts that we were talking about, so you can tell us if you think we're insane or we're just getting it wrong, or tell us how right we were.
In between.
Jay also puts up a lot of pictures of his jerseys that he keeps getting over and over. You could almost say obsessively. You can find links to his Facebook page for the Avs Hockey Podcast and Jay's Twitter account, which is AHPHKYPODCAST, Avs HKY Podcast. Your Twitter account for almost everything Avalanche, I guess.
I like that.
There's also a link to the shirts that we made, the curse word shirts, or you can find those shirts at curseword.net.
And I know Chris Huffine and Brian Rookstool found their shirts, and they wore them to the game. And
we have pictures of them up on the Facebook account.
It's so much fun. So.
You can see the only person that's actually as tall as Jay.
James wants to be tall when he grows up.
There was, I don't know if you must not have caught it, but at the Blackhawks game, they had one of those. It wasn't the Price is Right, but it may have been the word scramble. Right. And the guy got it right. And the guy and whoever was announcing, I don't think it was Roach that night. It didn't sound quite
right. They had the DU guy. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, right. But the DUPA guy does it when Roach is out of town.
And when he was, and when the guy, he said, and congratulations on being tall.
I didn't hear him. See, you sent me all those tweets and everything.
I thought I was just being a dork, but yeah, that's, it wasn't just me being a dork. You can find my blog is jerseysandhockeylove.com. My podcast is The Rink Podcast, www.rinkpodcast.com. On Twitter, I'm at tapeleg, TAPELEG. I think that's everything.
Yeah, and we both post from fake AHP tweets.
Yeah.
When needed, I'll call Jay. I'll say that was James. That was not me. What was the one I called you out on? I can't remember. Whatever.
Threw me under the bus on you?
I like that. Leaving at noon, be underneath the bus. Yeah, okay.
There's a bus leaving at noon, be under it.
Be under it. We have some fun with that one, too. Like I said, one Twitter account couldn't contain us and our enormous hilarity.
Abs are off for until Wednesday, the 26th, when they play Calgary. And then we have two home games. Friday, October 28th against Edmonton and Sunday, October 30th against Los Angeles. And that game, there's actually a hockey blogger game battle, skate around, kids skate, fall and shoot. I don't know what we're going to call
fall
it.
Fall and shoot.
But
James is in.
I'm in.
You are in.
Between Avs hockey, or it's the Avs Guild versus Mile High Hockey.
Nice.
It's before the game, so get there and watch people fall down. Post fun. It'll
sniper,
be great.
Sniper. Yeah, it'll be fun. I wish you luck.
Thanks.
Are you in game shape?
No.
Is anybody?
No. My shape kind of looks like that egg that's on the Twitter accounts when you sign up for one. You don't put an avatar up.
I know that
that's
shape.
That's kind of my shape. Right
I know
now.
That
it's
shape
good.
Well. Yeah.
A little more stick and puck time this week.
Yeah, let's go. We're going Wednesday if the weather holds up. It's going to be, 80 degrees tomorrow, and it's supposed to snow on Wednesday.
And the weather holds up. It's indoor. It's not. We're not going to go play tennis. This is indoor.
Oh, hockey still happens when the weather's bad?
You are a pain.
Holy cow. I'm just doing my job.
Other than that, the standings look great.
They look good so far.
Avs are tied for first with Dallas. Dallas actually, I don't know why Dallas is higher ranked right now, but especially because the Avalanche have a higher goal differential thanks to their game against.
Because they have Louis Erickson on their team.
I guess so.
Mm-hmm.
And that puts the Avs second in the conference. That's second, while the Detroit Red Wings are third.
Just thought you'd bring that up.
Well, yeah.
Hard to complain right now.
I'm not complaining at all.
No. Hopefully, yeah.
They're going to keep it up. It's it's not going to be as easy as it looks right now. It's not easy even. They're doing it in shootouts. We're back to one goal games and sometimes no goal games going into the the shootout is not how you want to finish every game. Even Joe Sacco last night after the game, he was trying not to laugh. He was trying not to
give
smile.
Me a heart attack.
But he was also saying, we're not playing overtime. We're not playing to get to the shootout. That just seems to be what's happening.
Yeah.
And while they're having nice comebacks, it sure would be nice not to just have, not to have to rely on that.
Hopefully they can keep winning until then. And with a healthy team, minus Mueller, and solid enough goaltending, I can see that happening. Heck, why not?
Why not?
Why not?
It's fun. It's fun to be an Avalanche fan right now, and hopefully that's gonna last longer than last season. It was fun at the beginning of last season.
Yeah,
and then it just
I was gonna say
painful.
It's always fun to be an Avalanche fan, but last quarter of last season that was not fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just kind of get it over with, we talked about earlier.
It happens, and that's one nice thing about all of this. While while people on in the Eastern Conference are counting on, praying for, hoping that Varlamov blows a groin, while people in other fans of other teams are saying this is never going to last, there's no way. It's just good fun hockey, which we haven't had in so long. We've been watching so many mistakes and so many times that they've just that it's just fallen apart. That right now it's fun just to see it not fall apart.
Mm-hmm. It's different. That's for sure. It's been a while. Even just starting goaltender, even just a legit, because my wife asked me, where's Budai? You know, I said Montreal. Where's Elliot? Is Elliot starting in St. Louis?
Oh, God, no.
I know he's playing a lot. I see his name a lot, but she's like, are they both starting? And I said, pretty much no. Mm-hmm. So you had two goaltenders and neither one of them could start for a new team.
Heck, but Abisher is in the AHL right now. Even the Jets signed him to a two-way contract.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll
take
it.
Former Avs come back to life.
We'll take it. Well, most of them do. All right. Are we good?
Play us out, Piano Cat.
You feeling good? Oh, no, I haven't heard that one before. Thank you for your time, James.
Thank you.
We'll see you guys in a couple weeks. We post as often as we can. Hopefully, we got a lot more great things to talk to you about Avalanche-wise until then. But, you know, as always, until then, take care. Let's go Avs, and we'll see you guys next time in a couple weeks on the Avs Hockey Podcast. See you.